It's a difficult world we live in. We lose the ones we love. We see things that we care about destroyed. We see brother against brother and family against family, and we know that even in this country where we have so much freedom and so much grace and so many gifts, that it could all go away. And yet, we have this message that has come down to us from Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, speaking to the church in Rome in a letter during a time when Christians were being persecuted. How were they persecuted? They were brought into the Colosseum to be torn apart by wild animals. They were killed in front of crowds of thousands by the sword for their entertainment. They were slaughtered for refusing to declare Caesar God. They died for their faith. They died because of their beliefs. They died with the name of Jesus Christ upon their lips. And they conquered the entire Roman Empire, not by marching into Rome with armies and swords and chariots, but by dying, by sacrificing themselves, by refusing to bow a knee to a false god, to a man who wanted to make himself godlike. They overcame the most powerful empire the world had seen up until that point. Not with force of arms, but with the force of love. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. They knew that if they sacrificed themselves, God would make something good come out of that. They knew that giving up their lives was better than giving up their souls, than giving up the promise that they could be, like Christ, children of God. There are places in the world where it is today illegal to speak God's name or to tell somebody about Jesus Christ or to share with someone our religious beliefs. There are places in the world today where Christians are not welcome. We will struggle and suffer, and there will be good times and bad. I don't know if this present moment is the bottom out of which we will crawl up to a new time in this country of great growth and great prosperity, or whether this is just a bump along the road to a deeper depression, a greater struggle, more suffering, worse economy. I don't know. I'm not an economist. I don't understand all that stuff. But I do know that God has promised us that whether we are on the road to recovery or on the road to disaster, He's with us. That whether good things happen or bad things happen, He's with us. That family who lost such a powerful member, someone so beloved that hundreds of people attended his funeral. What a loss to the family and what a loss to the community. And yet, we know that even in our losses, good things come. He's gone on to be with his Lord and King. He's gone on to a better world. He's gone on to that promise because he was obviously a believer. An example of a believer in a difficult job, a difficult situation, a difficult time. Someone who lived out his life. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Not just conquerors, not just victorious, but more than conquerors. You know, when I first started out to do the sermon, I was thinking of that as we are we are victorious. We'll win in the end. We know where we're going. Yay! We're part of God's people, God's family, God's army, fighting against evil. But no, that's not what it says. It says we are more than conquerors. What does that mean? More than conquerors. Remember in Matthew, when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey and the people cry, Hosanna, save us. They recognize Him as the King, the rightful heir to the throne, not by force of arms. He could have ridden at the head of an army, followed by an army of angels. He chose instead to ride humbly upon a donkey as the one who had inherited the throne and needed no army to ascend to His birthright. We have inherited that title. We have inherited that promise. We have been adopted by the King and have become part of His family, no longer necessary to fight for what is ours, but destined to inherit the kingdom of heaven. We are destined to inherit the kingdom of heaven. We are God's family, God's people, God's children. And so, we live our lives in grace, in love, in peace, in joy, conquering not through force of arms, not through forcing other people to believe, not through trying to make everybody just like us, but trying to be like His Son and be the examples that other people will want to follow. Those people in Paul's time conquered by being examples of faith and love, willing to give up their lives without a fight because of what they believed, because of what they knew, because of who they were, because of who their God was, and the promise of Jesus Christ. That we would be more than conquerors. More than conquerors. No need to take up weapons, no need to fight the battle, but merely a need to live as those who have already ascended to that kingdom. I remember when I was going to school to be a preacher, and they said, where is the kingdom of God? Trick question, because there's two answers. The kingdom of God is to come. We're all looking forward to getting there, right? Some of us are looking forward to getting there sooner than others, maybe. But we're all looking forward to getting there. But the kingdom of God is right here. And unless we live as though the kingdom were already within us, then when it's time to go, we may not know the way. I believe we do. I believe we all live as though that kingdom is within us. I believe we all know that love of God that transforms our hearts. I believe we all seek to be the people that God would have us to be. Being that example that overcomes all things, knows all things, that example of love. When I was at Lamont, this is a big church compared to Lamont, by the way. We maybe have 12 people in service. When I was at Lamont, my pianist would know what scripture I was using. Sometimes without my telling her. And she would pick hymns that would be so in harmony. Everybody would say, well, how long did y'all spend trying to figure out how to do the music and the service together? It went so well. We haven't talked to each other since last Sunday. But we both knew the mind of Christ. And so we were operating from the same book. We were operating on the same page. We were operating on the same wavelength, as they say these days. It just was easy. Sometimes you just know what someone else is thinking. Sometimes you just know what to say or what to pray for. Sometimes you know what to say to touch someone's heart. How do you know? Because we live not alone, but with that Spirit in us. That Spirit of God lives within us, that Holy Spirit that we feel so powerfully in our worship and in our service, doesn't leave us when we leave this building. He walks with us and talks with us, as the song says. And so we know. We don't even have to think about it. Just open our mouths and it comes out. Sometimes we're surprised to hear ourselves saying those things that the Spirit gives us. But He does. We know where to go. We know who's hurting. We know who's struggling. We know who's suffering. And sometimes we wish we didn't know. Because sometimes we know other people's pain. And it cuts us as it's cut them. But thank God, we have that Spirit to fill us, because otherwise we would be hollow, empty shells, missing that essential spark, that essential part, that essential love that's what connects us with each other and with God's creation. Yes, there's pain in the world. Yes, there's suffering. Yes, there's going to be worse times, and hopefully there's going to be better times, and maybe we'll get to see some of them too. But whatever we see, whatever we go through, whatever we'd have to deal with, He's with us. Without Him, it would be so much worse. I wonder how people who do not have Him in their hearts stand it. Some don't. Some give up. Some step out in front of a bus. Some step out in front of a bullet. Some give up. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with you. The Lord is here today. May He fill us with His Spirit. Amen.